straight from the underground.
Welcome back, Sports Hub Underground. This is Matt Dolliff. I'm here with my co-star Ty Anderson, as we are every single week at 98.5thesportshub.com. You can get us wherever you get your podcast. Ty, how are you today?
What's going on?
Love your shirt. The Rodzilla, NWO.
That's it.
The Monday Nitro on the back. I was telling you earlier, I need to get a Roz War shirt.
And then I found you some.
Yeah, you found me one. You showed me a lot of really good retro wrestling stuff. What was that site? It was Etsy?
It's an Etsy. I'm not going to name the name because I don't want them getting shut down.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's
licensing. That type of enterprise we're talking here?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. We don't want to blow up that person's
spot. Send you the links
spot.
If you want them, but I will not say it on here.
Yeah, we'll DM you some promo codes or whatever.
Yeah.
All right.
Use my promo code, WETFART16. I was like, why is it the promo code? Because I want to see you type it out.
Who, you Dave the Chuck the Freak?
Yeah.
Use the promo code, poop in my mouth. Don't you guys hate the taste of poop?
I've never heard that show. I know it's part of our networks, but A, I'm never up that early. And B, I probably couldn't listen to that first thing in the morning, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, it's weird. Like, yeah, I haven't heard much of it either because of, you know, our schedules and all that. Usually it's Touch and Rich. But, yeah, like they would play, at least back in older days, they would just play like random segments. You know how we do play random clips from the Sports Hub as like a promo?
Of course, yeah.
They'd do that, but for Dave and Chuck the Freak, it would just be like 5 unedited minutes of like just not even a music bed, just them talking farts and pooping in your mouth, like all kinds of
gross
crazy stuff. That's what they talk. That's what it's like. That's what that show's like.
Yeah,
I used to think they
were.
One
is the freak, so we got that.
I mean, yeah, Chuck the Freak is not someone I would want to associate with in any way.
Nice. Like, whatever. He's a freak.
Yeah.
It's a sick shirt. I've just decided that I just want to have old vintage wrestling shirts now, just all the time. That and band shirts and then some just plain tees in there. So why not? So that's where I'm
Dennis
at.
Dennis Rodman wasn't the best storyline, though, was it?
No, because then they got Karl Malone involved. Don't take a photo of it. Don't tweet this.
Wait, you're not going to let me tweet that up?
I don't tweet that one.
I want to, though.
I look like shit today. Sorry. Whatever.
You look good.
No, I'm not.
You look fine.
I feel terrible today. I don't know what's going on. I've had like a headache these last like 2 days that's like just lingering in my brain.
What do you
think
that is?
Probably dehydration, I would imagine. I forgot my water thermos in my car once again today, so I don't feel like walking out there right now.
Your Ghostbusters thermos.
Yeah, exactly. So,
that's a joke. I don't know what his thermos is.
It just has a bunch of stickers on it. I don't think there's any
Ghostbusters sticker.
There's a Turtles one, I know that.
That's another shirt I'm overdue to get.
Just a
shirt to casually wear, you know, running out for errands, you know. You know, I've been wearing the plain black shirts.
Yes.
I think I'm freaking Steve Jobs lately.
Yeah. Steve Jobs, Louis C.K. Like taking like inspiration from one of those guys.
Yeah, no, they are great people. Perfect humans, those guys.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I like I think I'm just dehydrated, but I don't know. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, there's a pretty easy solution to that.
Yeah, take a shower, right? That's how you fix that?
Yeah, shower water.
Oh, okay, cool.
Shower water's pretty good.
Ew.
Especially when it's nice and hot.
All right, move on. This is gross. I'm already hating this.
I took a shower at the gym earlier because I hit the gym again.
Oh, nice.
You proud of me?
I plan on doing that tonight.
Proud of me?
No.
No.
Not proud of anybody.
How many more times do I have to work out for you to have a 1 out of 10
I'm not proud of... And, like, just do your thing. I don't care.
Anything?
Why do you need to be proud? Just do your thing. It's cool.
Well, I don't want you to be not proud.
Well, I'm not proud. I'm just like, I don't want to do that because then that puts expectations on you. I don't want to do that.
Ty, nobody is less proud of me than me.
Okay.
And my entire existence has been based around getting validation from other people. It's not healthy.
That's not good. You don't want that. No, but I
never want to say. It's why I hate Twitter, I think, because you're just simply not going to get the validation you're looking for.
I've always hated the idea, though, of oh, if I'm proud of you, you'll do it. No, you should do it if you want to do it. That's how I feel about it.
Like, I do want to do it.
Okay, then yeah.
I'm sick of being overweight. I'm sick of my feet hurting.
Yeah, that's good then.
You know?
But I don't want you to think that you need me to be proud of you to go and do that. That's not that.
No, I was joking.
Oh, okay.
I figured you would be you wouldn't be the opposite, but you would say the opposite. You'd be like, yeah, I don't care, like you just did.
Yeah, well, no, that's a real thing, though. Like, I don't want to put that on you. But that, then again, I don't know how to cope with anything, and I don't know how to express feelings.
See, like, I'm a guy, I mean, maybe it makes me a pussy or something, but I'm a guy that, like, if I had a guy that was, like, trying to push me every day, like, I'm going to be your gym buddy, and then he's like, what the hell's wrong with you? Get up and go. I would just say, dude, shut up.
Yeah, no, I'm not like that.
Get out of my face. I'm going back to bed. That would have the opposite effect on me.
Yeah, well, that's like, Doc's family loves hugging, and I come from a family that didn't really hug, so... They always love to hug, and I'm like, what the hell is going on right now?
What is this gesture?
Yeah, so, like, there's that. So, I don't know. I'm weird. So, that's you. Good for you. I'm happy you're going to the gym. It's a weird gym. I like it, but it is a little weird down there.
It's like the fact that it's, like, open.
Yeah, space. I'm not crazy about that. I feel like someone can just watch me from the balcony while I'm, like...
Yeah, yeah. Like, the people that don't know, like, the people listening, you know, you can just walk, like, on a higher level...
Yeah,
across a balcony and look down on people at the gym.
Yeah,
you can literally look down on people.
Right, right. So little unusual. I like going there when I do the Saturday morning hockey show. I love going there after because it's a Saturday and there's no one in this building. It's totally empty. I have it to myself.
That's what I love about it. Yeah, I feel like I have my own when you're down there, it's a nice. It's nice.
It has for sure.
Good selection of machines and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I like the feeling of like, this is my gym.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to mention the shower and the locker room is nicer than my actual bathroom.
Yeah, so I haven't used
there's
that.
There's that
factor. I buy the...
Yeah, what are these things? These like towel-sized body wipes?
Yeah. Yeah, they're...
You told me about this. I can't believe this is a product.
I brought them with me today because I'm going to the gym after we're done.
But like you choose to do that over taking a shower.
Well, I didn't bring a towel with me, so...
That's like
towel.
My greatest fear. I think that happened to me once. Yeah. Like I had no choice but to just go home, and you know, I show up all the way up there, and I just don't have a towel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's even worse is like not having clothes. Like you get in the shower, and then you get out, and you're done.
Yeah. No, I don't like.
Looks like our friends are trying to get in and set up for the off-air show.
Is that something we have to pause for right now?
I don't know, but they're walking away now. They would have just barged in if there was a problem.
I don't know. This place sucks. Let me tell you, this place sucks.
They had their chance. They know. They knew we record around this time.
Yeah. Why don't you come here more often? Because everyone is always in my way. That's why.
Yeah, so Rachel does the off... Who usually sets up for the off... You got like just setting up the mics and stuff. She used to do that, and now she has a new job. She got promoted, and we have a new guy, Brandon... who is now doing the off-air show, and I guess she was trying to train him? Well, I guess we're disrupting that. We're disrupting the training session.
Care.
But Rachel knows. She knows we record exactly at this time every week.
You'd think, but what do
you
I know?
You think one might think?
Yeah. I'm sure
I should have given him the... I should have been like, just come
We'll get the email.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I don't like using public restrooms though. So showering in public is probably a weird thing for me that I don't think I'll ever do.
I mean, technically, it's not really a public restroom.
There's five floors of offices in this place. Anyone can walk in at any time.
Well, it's public after you enter the building, but this is a private establishment.
I still don't like it.
You're not going to walk in and see like Danny DeVito with a toe knife and the caddy from Happy Gilmore.
I almost did one time. Did I tell you about the horror experience that I had using the gym for the first time?
You might have.
Tell it
for the people on the pod, though.
So the guy, probably a nice enough guy, but when you go to the gym, you really don't want to have a conversation. At least that's my experience. I just want to do what I got to do and get out of there. I don't want to talk about pretty much anything.
That might be my greatest fear in life is this someone coming up to me in the gym and be like, hi. Let's have a conversation.
Right. And so this guy asked me, I don't know if he thought he like owned the gym and needed it exclusively, but he was like, where do you work? Which I was like, okay, first of all, none of your business. But I was like, oh, I work for the radio station that's in this building now. And he was like, radio station? What radio station? And again, you don't know me. I don't have to tell you everything about why I'm in this room here.
Radio station, what's that?
Yeah. So I tell him. And he's like, oh, I loved morning show that no longer is a morning show. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, I used to work with them too. Yeah, good dudes.
Yeah. That was a big Don Imus guy.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, yeah, I used to work over there, too. And then he starts going off on this thing about how he hates Michael Felger. And I'm like, okay, can I please just use the treadmill? I don't want to talk about this with you. And then he's like, you might have put on the news? And I was like, yeah, man, go for it. And he puts on a cable news, which is not really news, in my opinion. That is anger drumming up to get you to be angry. And I was like,
it's like Felger.
And I was just like, I ended up leaving like 15 minutes later because I was like, all right, cool. So you're just going to put this on really loud, like to the point where I can't hear my music. Like, all right, I'm out of here, dude. And it was just like the worst. And I was like, I was so excited about coming here for that gym. And then I was like, this guy is going to ruin this for me. But I haven't seen him since.
That's
so
good. He leans over. Is it liberals? Am I right? And
you're like, hey, liberal. Why don't you go vote, liberal? What?
Like, I did.
Like, let me stress this. I don't give a shit what you vote for, but please don't make me like get roped into it and have to talk about it with you when I met you 3 minutes ago and I'm at the gym and
especially,
I just want to lift weights and go on a treadmill.
Especially
like,
a stranger.
Don't talk to me about this.
Especially a stranger.
Right. Like,
someone you just met.
Believe whatever you want to believe. Like what you like, but leave me alone, especially at the gym. And if you hate my coworkers, keep it to yourself because I don't care. What am I supposed to say to that? Oh, yeah. I hate him too. I don't hate him. What do you want me to say? Like that's just a no-win situation for me as a person. Leave me alone. Let me just work. People at the gym just want to focus on what they're doing. They don't want to talk to you. Don't talk to them.
Right. I know. I get. But it seems like maybe he was just trying to be friendly. But I don't know. But you obviously experienced it, not me. So
he was trying to be friendly.
There was a vibe. There was some kind of vibe.
He was trying to be friendly. It felt like, right?
The vibe had to be off.
But it also felt like he had really hard opinions that I needed to know. And I was like, I don't care about your opinions. I don't know you. We have no relationship. I don't need to know why you hate this person, this person, this person, but love this person. That's not of
importance.
Well,
it must have been because of the radio thing. You know, like people, like you probably get random people just giving you their sports takes, right?
Yes.
Because we're in sports media. So yes. It's like some, and every, like if you meet someone and they're like, oh, you're that guy, you know.
But in the right context, not when I have my headphones in and I'm trying to get a workout in. That's when I don't want. That's like similar to like someone, if I'm at dinner with Doc and someone comes up to me and wants to talk about how they hate Felger Maz, I'm like, is this really the right context to be telling you this right now? I don't care. I don't want to know.
Where do you think they should have the 2024 Olympics, Ty?
Please just let me eat my quesadilla.
This had to be your opinion. I had to get this out of you.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't had that, thankfully. I've been in the gym with other people. Nobody's like walked up to me.
Right.
I just find that weird. I figured anybody who goes to the gym just wants to do their workout and go home. I can't even imagine talking at all.
No, that's the thing.
I'm too busy like breathing and panting. And
let me lift my heavy weights,
losing my breath,
and run on a treadmill and let me be. That's all.
I think it's an easy ask.
It is. It should be. That's why I love going when there's no one there at night. So that's what I'm going to do today.
So these full body wipes.
Yeah.
Can you explain this to me again?
Oh, it's just like.
I just want to see if any of our listeners also have used these products before.
Yeah, well, so the ones I used to use were made by Dove. They don't make them anymore. So I found this new brand. I forget what it is. It's like a brand that makes like soap, though. I forget what it is. You know, I don't know if it's Neutrogena or you know another one of those. But yeah, they're like.
What was that, like Noxzema? Is that still around?
I don't even know what that is. They're like 10x12.
I think they made acne cream.
They're like 10x12, and you use it on your face first, and then you just wipe your arms, you know, your body, like whatever you want to do. And it's good because it leaves you smelling much better than you did after a workout.
Of course, yes, yes.
But it's basically, it's for like if you don't have time to shower, if you don't have time to do all that, you use that, and you know, you're good to go. So that's what I do. I used to do it at hockey, too, because the rink that I would play at, the showers were really nasty. So it's kind of similar.
Yeah. I would never want to, yeah. A public shower, like a multi-person shower, like a prison shower.
Yeah, no.
All set with that.
Right.
I will drive home all stinky and sweaty and just use my own shower at that point.
Right, right. And I'm trying to figure out what the name of these things are.
I found a new brand of soap that I like. You know, I wish that, you know, sponsorship's available for the Sports Up Underground.
Well, yeah, good luck with that.
Dr. Squatch.
Sorry.
And the bad part is, the annoying part is that I discovered them via, like, you know, Instagram algorithms just feeding me random, like, sponsored posts.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff's good. Yeah. It just smell good, and it doesn't have, like, what they would call harsh chemicals.
Okay.
You know? So I recommend anyone who's got, like, you know, skin trouble, itching, eczema, things like that.
Yeah.
Get yourself some Dr. Squatch.
Yeah, I don't, okay, so.
Felger dressed like Dexter Morgan.
He really is, like, every day.
He's literally cut, he's got the shirt that Dexter used to wear when he goes out killing people. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's basically a washcloth that's for a substitution if you can't shower. So that's what that is. So that's why.
Oh, I like that when you said, I've pictured it, this is, my brain is stupid and weird. I pictured it being 10 feet by 12 feet.
No.
You're just like draping it over your body and then rolling around in it?
Nope. Just 8 by 10 inches. That's all it is.
It's giant, good. Like, body condom?
No, I swear by them in that moment. Like, you need them. You know what I mean? Like, it's better than just, you know, washing your hands and being like, I'm going home now. Like,
obviously, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're going to wash yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to be a disgusting human.
Shall we get into the sports?
Sure, yes. I was just one more. I could have used those things when I went to Bonnaroo, the music festival,
because
you sweat like you've never sweated before at those events.
Yeah.
And we had like the little wipes, but they didn't do much. You know, you could take, we always took, you take a shower first thing in the morning, but then you're covered in sweat within 20 minutes.
Yeah,
you gotta have those wipes.
I brought them with me to Riot Fest.
Riot Fest, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, you're basically, your days begin at 8, 9 in the morning. You don't get home till 11 p.m., so you don't really have time to shower, I would say. Like, at least if you want to experience everything about the city.
Right.
You know, yeah. In 4.5 days or whatever you're there for. So, I brought those as just in case. So, I did end up using one day because I just didn't feel like taking a shower, so...
Speaking of Chicago Festival, did you see the Lollapalooza lineup is out?
I did. Kind of a bummer because basically if any of those bands or artists play Lollapalooza, they are not going to play Riot Fest. There's like a 90-day rule.
Yeah, so it's called the Radius Clause.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the bands I was really hoping was going to be playing Riot Fest will not be playing Riot Fest because they are playing Lollapalooza.
I figured there would be some overlap there. A lot of bands that play Riot Fest would play Lolla.
It's different, too. Like, it's different Lolla parks.
Stays to their roots.
Yeah.
For the most part. Even though Kendrick Lamar is the biggest.
Yeah. Well, I knew acts like that were not going to be playing Riot Fest, but, like, Knocked Loose, which is a hardcore band that I really like, I was hoping they were going to be playing Riot Fest this year, and they're playing Lolla, so they're not going to be doing that.
You know what I've noticed, and it's just something that happens, I think, as we get older as music fans, is that, like, bands that were higher up on a festival lineup years ago that I was into are now getting lower on the lineup because they're not as big as they used to be.
Yeah.
That to me is a weird phenomenon. Like, I'm not, like, just off the top of my head, the Black Keys, I'm not sure they would even headline a festival now. They'd be in, like, maybe the top 10 or 12 billed artists, but there was a few years there where they were, like, the biggest band.
Right.
So, like, that's weird how that happens. Now, the Red Hot Chili Peppers are, like, the fourth highest band on Lollapalooza.
You would have to pay me to go see the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Really? You hate them that much?
I do not like Anthony Kiedis at all.
Why not?
He just makes up words.
He just annoys you?
He makes up words to fill verses.
California.
That's bullshit. That sort of thing. Write a real song, dude. Like, write lyrics. I find that wildly annoying. That he does that. Everyone's like, this is how he is. I'm like, no, that sucks, dude. That's lazy songwriting. That's not being a good songwriter.
Not the best lyricist.
But that's just me.
The only good real lyrics I thought that he wrote were Under the Bridge. And that was like, that was originally just like a poem he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rick Rubin was flipping through his notebook and he was like, do that.
So like,
do this song.
And that's sort of where I'm like, I'm not trying to, if you love them, that's amazing. You love them. I'm so happy for you. I'm just saying, for me, I hear that. I hear like most of their songs, and I'm like, you can't do that. There's a one song. I forget which song it is. Is it Snow? Where he's like, dun, 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 like completing a verse like that.
No, that's the one I was just saying. And it's Around
like,
the World.
It's like, you can't do that. Like, that's bullshit. You can't do that. You can't do that and then get millions of radio plays. That is horse shit. So I don't like him for like that reason, where it's like, that is literally a scam.
I had a dump tie 4 times already.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Just, that's a scam.
Not sure I'm going to bother.
That's a scam. Yeah, don't even bother. Who cares? No one listens.
No, yeah, Chili Peppers,
No one's listening anyways.
I liked for the guitar and the bass for Chili Peppers.
Now that I can see.
Never really cared
now
for.
Now that I can see.
Never really cared for
good musicians.
Yeah.
Terrible lyrics. That's kind of where I'm at with them.
Yeah, I never cared for Anthony Kiedis that much.
But again, I love bands that everyone would probably hate. So we're all in this together. You like things that I hate, and I like things that you hate. So it all works out.
I don't want
anyone tweeting at me being like, you don't like these guys? Yeah, man. And I also hate the Smashing Pumpkins, and I don't like the Eagles. Like, there's a lot of bands I don't like. It's fine. You love them, more for you. It's the old Frank Zappa line.
See, yeah. What's the old Frank Zappa line?
Where it's like, I make things for people who like them. If you don't like it, you don't like it. There's all that other stuff for you. That's what it is.
Seriously.
Like, just...
That's always sort of been a thing, but I feel like it's just been worse with social media connecting everybody. It's like people can't stand the fact that there are people that believe different things from them.
Right.
Or just like different things. It's like, you realize this was always how the world is.
Yeah.
Not everybody's like you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's why I don't mean to yuck anyone's yum. If you love them, I love that for you. For me, I don't like the lyrics. I don't think he's a good songwriter.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Musicianship is incredible, though. I will say that. I can't get on board with how he writes his lyrics. So that's where I'm at with that.
I get it. I feel like even the most ardent Chili Peppers fans would not argue that Anthony Kiedis is the world's foremost lyricist.
Right. I'd hope not. But I don't know. I had a tweet about Train once, and someone like went off the deep end at me, and I was like, all right, it's Train.
The band Train?
Yeah. I had a thing being like, yo, like someone was like, what are you, because it was about Crazy Train. And someone was like, what are your like top 5 least favorite songs? And I said, Crazy Train's not even on there, but there are 2 songs by Train in there. Drops of Jupiter and Hey Soul Sister. My goodness, do I hate those 2 songs. And I have my reasons for it. I think they were overplayed. And when I was in high school when Soul Sister came out. And I worked that summer. I was 16, and I worked at the Dunkin' Donuts in my town.
And then so you heard it like three times
an hour.
Yes.
And I was like, this is painful, right? And so, like I said, like I hate those 2 songs, man. And some guy tweeted at me and was like, oh, yeah, you mean the sports nobody in Boston hates the Grammy-winning band Train? I was like, yeah, man.
Yeah, that's how it is.
I do.
That's how it is.
I'm so sorry. And then I looked at this guy's profile, and he was like super about Train. And I was like, all right, guy, relax.
Proud father.
Yeah.
Christian.
Yeah. Telling me to kill myself.
Right, yeah.
That always makes me laugh, where like I'll be like, I think the power play is playing poorly. And then someone's like, oh, my God, why don't you just kill yourself already? And then I click their profile, and it's like, father. Christian.
Yeah.
Protect
Psalms
our kids.
Psalms 21:24.
What the hell?
Psalms 21:24. Love thy neighbor. And then he just
except
goes. Except this guy. I'm going to go take a poop on his lawn.
Yeah. He has a different sports opinion than me. That's not allowed. Like, what?
Yeah, but yeah, it's a wild world out there.
I once got in trouble. I don't know if it was this management or another management team where. Some guy said something horrible to me, and his bio said, like, proud father. And I wrote back, you're a terrible father. I think somebody got my ear and was like, can you not say that about a man? And I was like, well, look what he said. They're like, be the bigger person. I'm like, I will never be the bigger person. That ship sailed a long time ago.
That's harsh. Yeah, I've been waiting for the right time to do that, but just be like, dude. Go spend time with your family. Why? What are you doing here?
Yeah, I did that. I did that with somebody once, and I think I got in trouble. So now I just
the
worst I did is I told someone to have a terrible day last week. So that's where I draw the line.
That was a good one. That was pretty good one.
Yeah, it was a zinger. So yeah.
All right. I think we've killed enough time. Let's take our first break. How's that sound? All right. Well, we'll talk more sports after we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back. Ty.
What's up?
Want to talk sports?
Yeah, why not?
All right. I'm going to start with the local hockey team.
Okay.
We might finish with the local hockey team. Linus Ullmark. Is he fading?
Nope.
Is that what Felger said when you were on with him on TV?
So he thinks that Jeremy Swayman's been the better goaltender of late. Which I guess if you're looking at the numbers since January, like, yeah, but actually they might be back to even now. I think they both have dueling 937 since the new year began.
They have the same exact save percentage.
I think after last night's game, yes. I think that
to the hundredth of a point or the thousandth of a point.
Yeah. So I think that it's still Linus's net. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think last night, Tuesday night, kind of proves that. You know, he stops 40 of 41. He had to make 21 second period saves. Very ugly period for the Bruins, one of their worst.
And they were giving up
home ice.
They were giving up odd man rushes. It wasn't an easy night of work for Linus Ullmark there.
No,
and I thought maybe he could have maybe gone to the post quicker on the one goal he gave up, but
yeah,
the defense also got beaten.
Well, say though is that what you mentioned, the odd man rushes and things of that nature, that's sort of been I would say the primary trait that I've noticed with Linus' starts is that they have been surrendering more high percentage looks when Linus is in net versus Jeremy Swayman. It's kind of been a reversal of the first half of the year, the first month, I would say, where they were not playing very well in front of Jeremy Swayman, but they were playing great in front of Linus. I think it's kind of been flipped here. I think that, and it is, if you look at the numbers and the analytics, there has been about two more high danger shots per game on Linus than on Swayman over that same sample size.
Do you think there's a reason for that, though, or is that just coincidental?
I think there are certain game situations where they're allowing more odd man rushes. That's been something that's been on the rise, is that they've been allowing a bit too many of those, I think. But you factor that in over, 3 months now? Like, it's a lot. Adds up to a lot of high danger quality opportunities that Linus is still turning away. So I still think it's his net. I think performances like Tuesday night confirm as much. I think performances like what you saw in Minnesota confirm as much. And Felger said, they got two goals wiped away by coaches' challenges. Okay, yeah. And they won those. So you can't.
And they weren't goals. They were invalid.
Yeah, you can't say that, well, those should count. No. That's not how that works. That is not how that works. They did not count, so they are not goals.
It's not quite the same as like an interception getting wiped out by an offside penalty or something like that. You know,
right,
it's like the
right.
Two things are directly related when it comes to the goals.
I will say one of them though, probably the Bruins had plenty of time. I just hate the offside challenge. I just don't like it. One of them, the Bruins had plenty of time to make a play and they didn't. So it was a bailout for them.
Shouldn't there be a rule where like if you don't touch the puck for a certain amount of time, or like if the other team touches a puck for the certain amount of time, offsides is canceled out?
I think
you shouldn't be able to go back like 3-4 minutes to say like, well, you know, they were offside by a half inch.
Yeah.
Like if the team trades possession within the offensive zone, that should just cancel out any idea of even an offside.
I agree. I 100% agree. I do not like it. There was that play in Boston. I think it was the Oilers game where the Bruins were offside 31 seconds before the goal was scored. At that point, I think the Oilers had enough time to make a defensive play, make a stop,
right?
You know, and get possession. They didn't, and so I don't think it's, you know. But then there are goals like the one I was watching Oilers game, Oilers Sharks, the other night, and it was a 2-on-1, and the goal scorer was offside, and it was a 2-on-1 bang bang play, 2-on-1. He gets the pass, one times it, goal. That plays a factor. He's offside. The goal happened 4 seconds later and off his stick on a one-timer. That's when it plays a factor. I don't think it plays a factor when it's 30 seconds before the zone entry. Or, I'm sorry, 30 seconds after the zone entry. And, you know, what do they call it? Like, when they rule out pass interference in the NFL, it's like it wasn't catchable. Or don't they have a thing? It's like
it wasn't in the area.
Don't they have a thing called like defensive indifference or something like that? Where like they didn't there's a play. There's something like that, like defender indifference.
Oh, you might be thinking of intentional grounding, where like there was a receiver in the area or not in the area.
Either way, like I think those kind of rules should be applied when it comes to those kind of things. But it's not. But anyways, way different sidetrack tangent. I know, but.
It's all right. He's had one bad game.
He's had one bad game. It was the Chicago game. That was it. He's been good pretty much every other game.
Right. And I was saying last week, I was like, I wasn't saying that he was fading or that he's lost it or anything like that. It's just that it was less than perfect. You know, earlier in the year, they went on this absolute tear. And a big part of that was the way the goaltenders played early in games, where like they staved off these early storms from the opponent. Mm-hmm. And then the Bruins were able to pull away in the third, and you sort of forget about how good the goaltending was in the first period. There's just been a little less of that lately. But I mean, how could you? I don't know how you could fault Linus Ullmark for that game against Ottawa, making 40 saves, and a lot of them are tough, and the odd man rushes and all that. And what was it? Like, your Twitter got blown up against, so you got to go yell at Felger.
Yeah.
What was Felger saying now?
I don't know. But let me just run through this real quick, right? These are Linus's in-game save percentages the last 10 games. 935, 929, 968, 963, 947, 923, 935, 821. That's the Chicago game. 935, 976. There's really only one clunker in here, unless we are at the point where Linus has been so good that a 923 is now below average.
It's an off night for him.
Right. Yeah. Which, if that's the case, I want to remind everyone that the fourth best save percentage in the NHL right now is 920. The days of goalies posting 930s, it's kind of going away.
Isn't that Swayman scoring
more now?
Isn't that Swayman, by the way?
That is Swayman. That's the fourth best in the NHL.
See?
But
so
like,
they should absolutely start over Ullmark.
But 5 years ago, you would have, you know, six or seven guys putting up a 928 to 935. It's kind of going away now.
Yeah, we're not.
Like, scoring is back on the rise again.
The golden age of goaltending is over, I think.
Right. It's not quite, you know, early 90s where a 905 was good, but it is, you know, it is different now. I think the teams now, I mean, you're seeing teams combine for 11 goals a game now, 12 goals a game. Like, it is more commonplace now than it was, say, you know, 4 or 5 years ago even. So I have no reason to think that Linus is fading or that he hasn't been just as good as Jeremy Swayman. Like, they are, you know, it's like a, you know, the old term 1A and 1B. No, it's like 1A and 1A right now. Like, they are both playing super well.
Well, so, I mean, is that why the talk of a possible goaltending platoon has come up lately?
Yeah, and you know, my honest answer on that, Matt, is that I don't think there is a wrong answer. Like, I don't.
Oh, way to pick a side, Anderson. Way to have a take.
No, I just don't. I don't know if there is a wrong answer there.
Damn it! I demand you have a take on this.
Well, let's put it this way: is that
also I'm gonna shit on your lawn?
I don't think that.
Proud father, Christian.
I don't think that. Like, I don't know if either goaltender right now is built to play, what would it be, let's just say 24 games in 50 days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if either one of those goaltenders is built for that right now. Linus has never played more than, I think he's at his career high already. He's played 42 games, I think, this year. I'm pretty sure that is his career high. So,
isn't that like the norm across the league during the regular season? Like,
But he's never gone above that, though. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. They have, what, 13 more games? Let's say he plays 7 of them. So now he's at close to 50, right? Like, I'm doing this number off the top of my head, so I don't know what his actual career high is. But he never made the playoffs in Buffalo. He never played more than 40 games in Buffalo. So now he's going to play 65? Like, if you include the playoffs, that's a lot. That's a lot for a guy who's never done it. Right? So maybe you need it, but it does get a little tricky in the sense of, okay, let's say you do rotate them. You're down in a series 3-2, and the previous guy kept you alive in the last game. Do you go back to your rotation for game 6? Like, that's where it gets messy, but
you always have tough decisions, and guys can get taken out of a rhythm. You know,
right.
Like, I just feel like that's why teams just pick a goalie and stick with it. But what I was saying is that, like, the days of, like, the workhorse goalie are kind of over. I feel like it's almost like a game of chicken or like musical chairs or something, where like teams are just waiting for not musical chairs, game of chicken, where teams are just like waiting for someone to make the first move, the first person to actually say, I'm gonna do a goalie platoon,
right?
You know what I mean? Because like, I know Andre Vasilevsky plays a lot for Tampa, but I mean, like, he might be able
to manage that this year because they've known they were playing Toronto since January.
Right,
good format you got there, NHL.
Yeah, no, great. Yeah, it's fantastic. But like, even him, like, hasn't he taken a bit of a dip? Like, they might run him into the ground, because I just feel like that just doesn't, it's not really a thing anymore. Goaltenders playing 70 games. And I mean, even back when, in the days of like Martin Brodeur, Roberto Luongo, it was still really, I think, just a handful of guys, right? Like most teams just go with like a platoon. And like I would sort of liken it to, you know, baseball playoffs. You have a pitching rotation. You have, you know, you're not running the same guy out there every other game.
Yeah, know? No, you're not wrong. I mean, like the best goalie in the league last year was Igor Shesterkin, and he even maxed out at 53 games played.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like it is just different, right? It's different than how it used to be. You know, I look around the league, right, and okay, a team that's been really good of late is Minnesota. Minnesota has Marc-Andre Fleury and Philip Gustafsson, and they basically trade off every other game.
I know Gustafsson's been good because I'm on my fantasy team.
Yes, and he was a saving grace for them when Fleury was kind of in the tank for a little while there, and now they got both guys playing well. But, yeah, I think that teams look at it and say that you need to have an almost 50-50 split. And I think the highest volume share, if you want to call it that or whatever, however you want to phrase it, like, you'll see a 60-40 split now in terms of percentage, right? Like one guy will play 55 to 60, and the other guy plays the other 25 or so.
Yeah.
But like that is probably the highest you'll see it go now. Like unless you're a team like who just has an impossibly bad backup goaltender that you can't play and you're fighting for a playoff spot. But
like Daniel Vladar or someone like that.
Yeah, like
to name someone completely random.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to think of the last playoff team that had a really bad goaltender. Like, it's kind of hard for me. Like, because typically it's just so uncommon now, right? Like,
bad goaltending typically sinks you before you can't even get to the playoffs with a bad goalie, usually.
Yeah. And that's why teams invest so highly in their tandems. You know what I mean? Like, you know, even.
No. Bruins should have spent $200 on.
get Craig
Daniel
Anderson.
Vladar and Martin Jones.
Well, okay. Like, here's an example. Buffalo has been so bad. They've been so bad since deadline. They were in position to make a playoff push, and they've had Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Craig Anderson, right? Like, that's been what they've done, and it hasn't really worked. Like,
I thought they looked pretty good against the Bruins on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. What was it, 7-0? Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, it was a +7 goal differential.
And then you saw, like, you see certain games where Luukkonen is like doing everything he can to keep them alive, and it's just like, oh my god, he's not ready for this, right? Like Eric Comrie, who they had in the, like, not ready, like doesn't look good. So Binnington, this is a great example. The Blues are probably a playoff team, but Jordan Binnington is an ass this year. He's been so bad this year. He's been stinky, just straight up garbage.
That. He's bad, and he's an a-hole on top of that.
Yeah, no,
is there anything worse?
And.
Just being a useless a-hole.
And they had
causing problems.
They had Ville Husso last year. Ville Husso is now in Detroit.
Yeah.
But Husso was good for them last year. But he was able to kind of keep them, you know, afloat, get to the playoffs, go from there. They've had Thomas Greiss. Thomas Greiss is not as good as Ville Husso. And
no,
so what's happened is Binnington's played almost every game, and he's been trash in almost every game. And so the Blues just fell right out of the playoff picture. And that's why they traded Tarasenko and O'Reilly and all those guys. But, yeah, bad goaltending sinks you in this league. So if you have two guys that are 1-2 in the NHL since the new year in terms of save percentage goals against, it's not a bad thing. It's just how do you manage that in the playoffs? We're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like, yeah, like I think you said to me last night, like, this is as close as you'll ever get to, like, a team that can actually play both goalies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just feel like you just try to lay out any possible scenario. Like, the only scenario that, like, feels like it would work is, like, you go up 2-0. And so, all right, now we're going to play the second goalie in game three.
Yeah. I would even say maybe 3-0.
And, like, but I feel like you'd have to lay it out. No matter what happens in game three, we're going back to the number one guy in game four. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can lay it out, plan it out, like, so you don't change whatever. But, like, then you might be forced to change, obviously injury, but, like, if a guy gets lit up, like, you might have to make a change. So
yeah, and listen, I think last year what happened with Ullmark getting the gate after two games and going to Swayman, I don't think that was Ullmark's fault as much as we need a jolt of life here, maybe turning to the rookie and getting our team to be like, oh, we need to be more defensively responsible. We can't just let these point shots go unblocked or uncontested. Like, I think it was more to do with that than it was the play of Ullmark. But, like, okay, like a scenario that I could see that in is, you said 2-0. I think 3-1. If you're up 3-1 and the game five is in your building, you're like, we can turn to our backup here and we can probably win that game, or we should, because it's home ice and we have been a great home ice team. That's what they would say internally. It's going to be hard. It's just like, if there's a team that could do it, I feel like it's this team, because they have two guys that are just playing otherworldly right now in terms of how they're tracking things. Now, I will say this, though. I think Swayman's been a bit luckier than Allmark, if that makes sense. There's been a lot of post shots. There's been a lot of a shot going just wide, or a defenseman comes in with a great block at a key moment. So there's a little bit of that going on, too, with Swayman. So Allmark is still the guy for me. It's just, how do you manage it? If you're up 2-0, do you want to go to Swayman in game three just to keep him fresh? I mean, you can do that. It's just, it requires big balls, I think, from Jim Montgomery, which, you know, he's managed his team pretty well this year. He's got his finger on the pulse of how this team feels, how they are mentally. And so that's just another thing that they're going to have to manage. And what I will say, though, is that Montgomery is entering the playoffs, and this was before Forbert got hurt, but he's entering the playoffs saying, we're going to need all seven defensemen. We're going to need all these forwards. Does he feel that way about the goaltending? Might be that, too.
Right, yeah. He talks about how they need everybody, and, like, I'm going to keep tinkering, and there could be a rotation. You wonder if he does the same thing in that. Yeah, and it just goes back to, like, you wonder if, like, everyone around the league is someone going to do it? Who's going to do it? And, like, one person does it, and then the whole league starts doing it. That's sort of what it feels like to me. We're just waiting for those floodgates to open.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else could realistically do it. Like, Toronto could do it. With Matt Murray and Ilya Samsonov. Now, that might be because both guys are kind of crappy.
Right, but, I say, they're both kind of ass, but they're not far off from each other.
Yeah, like, they could do it. The Panthers could do it with Bob and Spencer Knight. Like, I think it's going to become more commonplace. I mean, the example you can always bring up is Fleury and Murray in Pittsburgh, like, in 16-17. Like, that wasn't necessarily by design, but it worked out for them in a big way.
Fleury and Murray with the blurry jury and the gurry and the dirty.
I'm going to leave now, so I'll see you later. You can do the rest of this podcast.
I'm going to cancel Riot Fest on you. That's what I'm going to do.
I don't even know if I can go this year. I have no idea.
All right. Yeah.
No, I have no idea, because the National Ball Hockey League, the
balls.
If we are to win the Boston division, we're going to be in the national tournament, which is the same weekend as Riot Fest. So I don't even know if I can go. I have no idea.
Well,
yeah.
At least was that your only time going to Riot Fest last year?
I go every year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe I just skip this year and go next year. Who
knows? You know, it happens. Bands, though, generally, right? Other than the headliners.
No, but they haven't announced the lineup yet, which is a little concerning. So, we're at the point where, by this time last year, I already had the hotel and the tickets, so and the lineup. Right now, there's no lineup. There's a date, but there's no lineup, so I'm curious where they go with that.
Now, one of my favorite bands, The Hold Steady, might be on the Riot Fest lineup, because they have a new album coming out this year.
Mm.
Now, if there was anything that might get me to Riot Fest, it might be them.
Riot Fest really isn't that bad price-wise, too.
Right.
It's like, I think it's like $350, but it's like a three-day festival. You break it down, it's like, $110 a day, and I'm seeing 15 bands. I could never do this.
Oh yeah,
that same price point anywhere else.
Yeah, the festivals, the price per band is better than like anything you could ever get.
Right.
Seeing like $110, you can see two concerts, two individual concerts for that if you're lucky.
Yeah, that's like I'm paying $250 for Blink-182 tickets at the Garden.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous.
I'm like, oh, Ticketmaster, this is cool. This is totally legal. This is not price gouging.
Right. No. Yeah. Ticketmaster is a cartel. If you like, you read about. Okay, well, let's circle back to the hockey, though. I have a couple more topics I wanted to get into here. Here it is. Jake DeBrusk scored a very nice goal last night. Very, very nice pass from Brad Marchand. He's feeling it right now. I think we got the confident version of Jake DeBrusk right now. It was interesting because, to me, it was interesting anyway. I don't know if anyone else finds this interesting, but I asked Jake after the game, and I asked Brad after the game, like, about that goal and their confidence. And, like, I wasn't even, like, really trying to get much out of them. I just, you know, just a little quote that I could put in my article after the game. You know how it is.
Mm.
And Jake, he admitted that, like, there was a time since he's come back from the injury, there's been a time where he was getting down on himself and sort of, he said, limiting what I do well, I think, is sort of what he was doing. So, like, for some reason, he almost like limits himself because he's hard on himself. And I guess that's just the story with Jake DeBrusque. It's like if he's scoring, you know, he's feeling good, but he starts to go a few games without scoring, and then that starts to snowball, and he starts to get down, but then he gets that goal, he breaks the curse, and then all of a sudden, he went 3 games in a row scoring when he came back from the injury. Scored once in 10 games after that. So that was obviously a cold streak. And now he scored a goal in 3 straight games again.
Yeah.
And I think you looked it up the other day. He had 3 assists. I don't think that was the first time ever that he had 3 assists in a game. But, like, my point is, like, I just hope they get the competent version of DeBrusque in the playoffs. It's frustrating that he's streaky like this. But, like, even Brad Marchand admitted it to me after the game. He's like, yeah, no, he's streaky. Gets hard on himself. But I think he just needs to get his feet moving. It's all about the feet. It was all about the skating. And I tend to agree. You know, DeBrusque was all over the ice last night. He had a great play to back check. Mm-hmm. And he had the goal. He could have scored another couple other goals. He had a couple of high-danger chances. If they get this version of DeBrusque in the playoffs, that's huge to me. Yeah. I feel like they haven't had that in 4 years.
I thought he was good in last year's playoffs. And they kind of flipped it up a little bit because they moved their lines around. He wasn't with Bergeron and Marchand for a quick little bit there. Mm-hmm. I think the games in Carolina, they went back to the first line a few times.
I just feel like in 2018, though, like it sort of felt like he was emerging as like a big game, big time player.
Yeah, and then he came back.
Hasn't been that.
He came back too early from the concussion, basically, that he had in 2019, and wasn't feeling well, wasn't himself for the remainder of that playoff series, playoff run. He'll tell you that. And then obviously you had the 2020 bubble, emotionless hockey. He feeds off emotion, feeds off energy. And then in 2021, it's the COVID year. He's miserable. He's not playing well. He's playing on the fourth line, you know, so I think it's coming. I think you mentioned, you know, that dry spell you talked about, that one goal in 9 games, that's probably the longest drought he's had since getting promoted to that first line. So that tells me that's an outlier versus what is actuality. I don't know if he's a goal in 3 games in a row every game, obviously.
I'd agree with you on that, but he admitted that, like, he was starting to, you know, be hard on himself during that cold streak. Well, so I feel like it did start to, like, weigh on him a little bit.
I'm saying, though, is that, like, that he was feeling that way, and he's since broken out of that and has
out of it for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's what's important, is that he, you know, he found himself in what was his first rut since being a top line right wing, right? Mm. And he's found his way out of it with 3 goals in 3 games. So, I think he's in a good spot. It's just about, like what you said, he's got to move his feet. He's got to stay skating. That's when he's dangerous. That's when he's effective. But I thought there was a key moment last night, too, where that kind of maybe flew under the radar a little bit, was that they had a moment where they had a defensive shift, and he was with Charlie Coyle. And that was the Bruins saying, we think he's a better defensive player than Trent Frederick in this spot, so we're going to throw him out there. Like that's what's important, too. Like, that builds confidence. That builds, you know, faith in your game. And I think that's something that Jim Montgomery's been good about rewarding him with that. So I think he's in a good spot. I think that's an effective top line for them. It's just a matter of, you know, who do they draw and how does he get that energy going right off the bat? The best thing that could happen for Jake DeBrusque is to score a goal in game one. That is the best thing that could possibly happen to him.
Yeah.
Like, just get him going right away.
That's the thing. It's frustrating, but I guess it's just the reality. It's almost like he starts a series with the monkey on his back. And it's like he has to start the series by getting the monkey off his back. Like,
He was a totally different player when he, I think he had the assist. Yeah, he had the primary assist on Charlie Coyle, shorthanded the goal in game 3 against Carolina. And from that point on, he was like a different player in that series. He just needs things like that. So if that gets going off the bat, like, there you go. And
right.
Really kind of curious who they draw in the first round now.
Pittsburgh
is fading.
Right?
New York is pushing. Florida's pushing. If it's the Florida Panthers, the Bruins might score 1,000 goals in 5
really?
Games.
Haven't they not played particularly well against the Panthers this year?
They haven't, but that Panthers defense is not looking good.
Stinky?
And their goaltending has been...
Stinky poopy?
Yeah, it's not good. So that would be a series to get everyone's offensive game going.
Right.
Like, so
that'd be good.
I don't know, but I think that, you know, their top Their top six is set. It's about what's the third line, the fourth line looking like between now and game one.
That's a good segue for the one last thing I wanted to ask you about before we move on to the big three. We're going to have another food-related big three coming up. Stay tuned for that, folks.
Hey.
Real intense, heated discussion coming up.
I'm hungry, too.
I know. It's going to make us real hungry. So, yeah, certainly 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, we talked about the odd man out. I think it was a lot more about the defense than the forwards, but
that might solve itself, by the way.
That's solving itself. Forward out for the rest of the season. We can, I mean, we can talk about that another time. We got plenty of time before the playoffs still to talk about that stuff. But I just thought it was interesting because, you know, Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno both come back. I'm not sure we ever really, like, resolved that discussion because I feel like I might have been missing a name or we just didn't finish it. You get Taylor Hall back. You put him next to Coyle. You move Tyler Bertuzzi over to the right wing. Nick Foligno comes back. You put him back on the left wing with on the fourth line. You still have Garnet Hathaway on the right wing of the fourth line. So then it comes down to Nosek or Frederick. And so I'm thinking you might go with Nosek, right? But like you were just saying with Trent Frederick, it's like I love Trent Frederick when he's played fourth line center. I feel like he could be really, really good in that role in those matchups and all that. But he's really just like a 5-on-5 player, basically, right? He doesn't kill penalties as much as Nosek would. He doesn't play on the power play. So like you and Nosek is better on faceoffs. So it's like I feel like it's crazy to think that Trent Frederick would be a healthy scratch when everyone's healthy.
It might be crazy to think that Nick Foligno is ready for game one.
Oh, like, really? Like, you think he might not be ready?
His injury feels a bit more severe than Taylor Hall's, right? And so Taylor Hall was skating in a non-contact jersey yesterday. Nick Foligno skating on his own. So I think there's a timeline difference there, like if that makes sense. Like the fact that Hall is skating with teammates, but Foligno's on his own
Hall's closer.
Yes. So the Bruins may be bailed out by the fact that they may not have Foligno available for game one, right? So
it's going to be a bunch of people tweeting about Foligno after they listen to this podcast.
No, but
I've heard from sources.
I love that. That always cracks me up. No, but there might be an element of like, hey, Frederick's going to get five games to show what he can do and what his fit is. And if it's a 0-0-0, you know, zero, it's like, okay, well, we got Foligno's ready now, so we're going to throw him in. Like, there may be an element of that. And you got guys that are pushing. In addition to that, Loco has looked good.
He's been good, yeah.
AJ Greer has looked good with Hathaway and with Nosek. Like, you're going to have options. And that's why I mentioned, like, you know, Montgomery believing they're going to need all these guys. Like, he might be right. Like, it may be opponent dependent in terms of who you're going to put in that role out there. Like,
interesting.
You may, I've said this with the defense, and maybe the same way for the forwards too, where if they draw the Islanders and it's going to be the identity line of the Islanders, you know, Cizikas, Clutterbuck, and Martin, you might say, we kind of want AJ Greer or Trent Frederick there with Nosek and Hathaway because that's going to be a nuisance on nuisance kind of line, right? Versus, like, you know,
things will get spicy when those two lines go against each other.
So, like, that's a way that you can look at it. But if it's the Panthers, maybe you're saying, okay, we got Jacob Lauko's speed and skill against their slow defense. Like, that might be something we want to expose if we can. So, I think it's matchup dependent, but I don't know if Foligno is ready for game one. I think the timeline difference there, I think, is real. And I also think that with Foligno, it's we want to make sure you are 100% ready to go because you play a position that we have a lot of depth at, and we don't want to throw you in if you're just going to be right back on the shelf. We want you to be part of this for the long haul, right? So I think that might be a factor too, but that's... That is one of those things, man, where there's a lot of candidates right now for minutes, I think, on that bottom six, especially that fourth line.
I think that's a good spot to be in rather than like, well, this is who we got. We got to go with these guys. Can't play the matchups. We have to go with this lineup. So,
yeah, and, you know, I think that one of the things that they've done of late that I've loved, Matt, is they have done some in-game tinkering or game-to-game tinkering where it's like, we want to see We want to see Tyler Bertuzzi with Krejci and Pastrnak because maybe we're going to have to go to that at some point. We want to see Bertuzzi with Bergeron and Marchand because maybe we need to see that at some point. Oh, we're going to put Zacha with Coyle because, again, we might need to see that at some point. Like, I think they've handled that part of this really well, right? Because I go back to that series last year against Carolina where nothing's going for them. So they're like, all right, Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak. It's like, well, maybe if you spend some time during the season figuring out other guys that could work there, you would be in the spot. But it goes back to even the bubble in 2020 when they lost Pastrnak for a game. They put Anders Bjork up there. And it was like, okay, well, he hasn't played with these guys since like the preseason in 2018. They're going to have no chemistry.
Like, God, remember the days when like Anders Bjork was penciled in as a top six guy before he even proved anything?
Yeah.
Wow. Times have changed.
He looked good in that preseason, but that's why it's the preseason and not the regular season. I remember they were so adamant that that was going to be their first line. Like they were really adamant that that was going to be their first line. To the point where Bergeron was like kind of pissed off after the first preseason game because there were so many penalties. And he was like, we're trying to look at our line and we can't because there's so many penalties. And I was like, wow, they really want this line to work. I just remember that. Like Bergeron was pissed after that game being like, there's too many penalties. It's the preseason. Let us play through it.
Part of my French, but I'm really ticked off right now.
Yeah.
Old Bergie.
That's him. He can get heated. It just comes across in a way that's...
I mean, I remember Alex Burrow's biting him.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, it can happen. He'll do whatever you need him to do. All right, I think we should move on to the big three, Ty. How does that sound?
Word.
All right. That was some good sports talk, but we're going to come back and we're going to do the big three. We're back. Time for another big three, Ty. This is a big one. This is a big food one. We're going to do the big three cereals. Breakfast cereals. Staple of every child, of every American child's day.
And just still my adult life.
Unless you're weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to love cereal, but it's one of those things where my digestive system doesn't exactly agree with it.
Just switch to almond milk then.
I think I tried that before. No, I think it's the cereal.
That's impossible.
I think
don't eat any grain. Is that what you're telling me? No grains for you?
I don't eat much grain these days. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. But, like, for fiber, I just get these gummies. That's what I'm doing to put fiber in my system.
How the hell do they make fiber gummies? That makes no sense.
It's weird. I know it's weird. But they're like gummy bears, except it's just fiber.
That sucks.
It helps. If I didn't eat that, like, it would be a disaster. But, like, yeah, I don't know. And I got a bread cereal. And, you know, I think I might be slightly lactose intolerant, too. I don't know. My digestive system is not, it's very high maintenance, it seems. Kind of a pain. It's like the Kyrie Irving of digestive systems I got.
That sucks.
Yeah. I asked my esophagus what it thinks of, you know, I don't even know where I'm going with that. All right. Let's get into the big three cereals. I'll let you start us off, Ty.
All right. Number one for me, always, forever and always, Apple Jacks. Damn, do I love me some Apple Jacks. I like anything that's apple cinnamon, honestly, like in the morning.
It's a good flavor. I don't know if that was in our big three flavors, but that's a good one.
Yeah, it's funny. There's also oatmeal, apple cinnamon oatmeal, and Doc tried it for the first time because she knows it's like my favorite oatmeal. And she's like, I don't like this. I was like, why? Tell me why. She's like, it's got little bits of apples in it. I'm like, yeah, it's apple cinnamon, you freak. It's not just regular cinnamon.
Yeah, all the apple cinnamon cheers. Yeah.
But no, Apple Jacks, number one for me. Love that combo.
There's not much apple-y about it. That was what I always thought was weird about Apple Jacks.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they don't look like apples. It's not the apple color. I guess the green.
Yeah, it's Granny Smith apples. What are you talking about?
I guess, but then there's the orange ones.
Yeah, that's the Jack.
Okay, but what is the Jack?
Oh, it's Jack. It's orange.
It just is?
It's Jack's.
It's like Jesus. It just is?
This is the cheese curls. They're the Apple Jacks.
I think you've proven my point here.
No, it's green for Granny Smith.
It's good.
Which Granny Smith apples are
not good. I always loved
apple juice in real life. Granny Smith apples are the worst kind of apples.
I agree.
It's not good.
It's not not enjoyable.
What's the best? What's the best apple? Golden Delicious. That's for damn sure.
Golden Delicious. I was going to say, you know what I like? I think they're called Gala apples.
I was going to say candy. I like candy apples.
You know what I like? The Jolly Ranchers.
yeah, I know the Gala apples. Yeah. I used one of my favorite snacks.
I'm a Mac.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Posh guy, though.
Yeah, I just love getting an apple, cutting it up, and then having peanut butter with it because I'm 5 years old.
That's a good adult snack.
Okay, it is? All right.
Now they're
good.
Coming for us again to do the off-air show.
Piss off.
We'll be out in a second.
Yeah.
I'm giving them the five minutes.
Yeah, whatever. Let's just go.
Now Rachel's trying to distract me with her hula dances.
Yeah.
This is getting strange.
This is whatever. Let's
all right,
go.
I think they're fine. They're just waiting for us. Yeah. All right, we got plenty of time. They got plenty of time. They got plenty of time before Felger barges in here to do the
show. The other thing too is he's always like 20 minutes late. So like why? Like leave me alone.
Yeah, well they got to set up. You know, we don't want to make life too hard on our colleagues. Not that anyone else here would ever do that.
Yeah.
You know why would we do that? All right, Apple Jacks. Apple Jacks, underrated cereal for drinking the milk that's left over at the end.
I don't do that.
You don't do that?
I do not.
But it was but you know what I mean, though, where it, like, it changed the taste of the milk.
Yeah.
Apple Jacks is underrated for that.
I can't just drink milk on its own, so I don't.
It's an odd behavior to just drink milk.
Yeah, not for me.
Just drinking milk.
Just sitting here, just drinking my milk.
It is odd.
Ghost of Tom Joad. All right, sorry,
I'll give you my number one cereal. I'll go Cinnamon Toast Crunch for the number one cereal.
Mm.
I feel like that would be a lot of people's number one pick. It's almost like a cheat code to say, like, yeah, I think that's, honestly, I think Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the best cereal of all time.
I bought a box the other day because it was $2.
There you go.
It was on sale. I was like, I'll get that.
I was going to say, what is the price of cereal these days? I haven't had it in a while.
Figured
a box would be like $8 now.
It's quite expensive.
Yeah. No, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, another one that the milk is delicious at the end because it's all cinnamony. And I think it's self-explanatory right there. And you know what? Cinnamon Toast Crunch is underrated. It takes longer to get soggy. That's what I liked about it.
That is true. I think that's why I bought it, because there's some cereals that I love, but they are soggy within a minute, and that is just not going
to
work
for me. Yeah, you have to scarf it down real quick, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think Cinnamon Toast Crunch speaks for itself. That's, you know, a lot of people would say that's the goat cereal.
They had one that I got a few months ago during the fall, which is it's like combining our two things into one, our two number one picks into one, where they had Apple Pie Toast Crunch, and that was so good.
It was so good.
I loved every bite of it, and I was very bummed when I finished that box.
Remember when they made French Toast Crunch?
They have weird ones now. They have...
it was weird. I remember getting it because...
They have Churro Toast Crunch now, too.
Churro?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this Ellis Island? Like, what are we doing?
I don't understand that.
I don't even know where I came up with that one.
That's a good pick. That'd be a lot of people's number one overall pick if I had to guess.
Like, yeah, I think a lot of people would say that's the GOAT here. That's a pretty easy pick.
It doesn't even crack my list, though, to be honest with you. My list is weird. I'm the first person to admit that.
Ty, can we do like the big six? I don't know if I could...
Yeah.
Pick just three and you're like, you coward.
You have to be strong in your convictions.
Have to have a take. All right, I get it.
Right. Sun Tzu once said, sorry.
What? Huh?
Number two for me, just Jack.
Of course.
I don't know if he's ever said that, but it just seems something he would
say. He absolutely has made a Sun Tzu reference. Come on. Clearly.
It's about like a mistripping.
It's the biggest lock of all time. Jack making a Sun Tzu reference.
All right, number two for me is Honeycomb. Now, this is a cereal that gets soggy really quickly, but I love Honeycomb. I absolutely love, and its mascot. I feel like I relate to it on a spiritual level for some reason. Not sure why, but I do. So Honeycomb is number two for me, but two problems with Honeycomb. One, it gets soggy real fast. And two, the box of Honeycomb is one of the biggest boxes in the world, and they do not make a smaller version of it. So you are signing up for a lot of Honeycomb. Hope you realize that, because you're gonna have to love it if you're buying a box, because there's so much of it.
That is true. You can like put a computer in a Honeycomb box.
Yeah, and then I feel like I'm like, I don't know if I want this much Honeycomb. Like,
yeah,
it's
you
a
think
legit
you got to,
thing.
Well, I guess I got to have a bucket of it. You know, that's sort of you got to put in one of those big metal bowls.
Yeah, yeah. Target sells these big plastic bowls, perfect for cereal, like 80 cents. It's like,
good to know.
The perfect depth of cereal bowl.
Me want Honeycomb. Remember those commercials?
That's what I'm saying. I love that little guy.
I'm old enough to remember Like, I was about to say, I remember the old Honeycomb commercials, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the old pre...
Was it like a jingle?
Pre that mascot.
Was there a jingle?
Yeah. Or like, no, maybe I'm thinking of Corn Pops. Remember Corn Pops used to have like the Jaws music?
Yeah,
and
but
like,
I'm,
oh, no, I'm going to be late for work.
I'm almost certain there was a Honeycomb jingle that was like, I want, what?
I don't know. Let's we'll figure that out. Yeah. We might have put it out on social media at 98.5 Underground.
Yes.
So that's a good pick. That's one that I forgot to put on my list, but I would have had that on my big board if I had enough time. Okay, my second pick.
It's not small. No, no, no. Honeycomb's got a big, big taste, a big, big crunch for a big, big bite. Okay, that's what the jingle was. Sorry,
cool.
Go on.
I do like Honeycomb, though. That is a nice and tasty. I'll make a nice debate for the people. I'll keep it in the honey realm. I'll go Honey Nut Cheerios for my second.
Oh, that's a good one.
I've always been a Cheerios guy. I'm fine with the regular Cheerios. I was fine with that growing up. But the Honey Nut, I mean, come on. Delicious. They claim it's good for your heart. I'm not sure how accurate that really is.
I used to do the regular Cheerios, and then I'd put a spoonful of sugar and put that on top.
Ooh. I'm not sure that I never really found that necessary.
Yeah.
I've done it before.
That was regular
Cheerios.
Someone
showed that to me. I had a friend who did that once when he stayed at my house, and like we woke up and we both had like you know, like some rice cereal, Rice Chex or something.
Yeah,
so it's like bland. And he's like, "You got sugar?"
Yeah.
I was like, yes, I guess.
Sugar. Water. Give me sugar.
And then he put sugar over this. Like, I'm glad I didn't follow his lead there because that would have been dangerous.
Yeah. No, it's good, man. It's good.
Honey Nut Cheerios, though, speaking of digestive system, I don't want to get too gross on you. But it's one of those things where it's like the end result, digestively, so to speak, is distinct with Honey Nut Cheerios, and I don't know why. I wonder if anyone else has had that experience. But it's too delicious. It's too good.
Yeah. I just miss having those little cereal packs where it was like a little box and you got like,
oh, the 12 pack. They still make those.
I know.
But there's always the one or two that you don't care for.
Yeah. Like,
they have like smacks,
like Life. I'm like, I don't want this. It's trash. That is a good pick. All right. So for my number three, I'm debating between so many different ones, but I'm just going to say this one because, as an adult, I can eat this cereal and not feel like I'm a child. Banana Nut Crunch. Have you ever had this cereal?
No, I've never heard of it.
It's so good. It's like Post. I think Post makes it. But yeah, Banana Nut Crunch. It has, it's like the oat flakes are like banana flavor. There's no actual banana in it, I don't think. But it has like clusters of like almond and this like really like flavorful kind of whatever cluster it is. Really love that cereal. It was one of those cereals that, like, I think my parents liked, my mom liked. So, like, in the house, I'd be like, well, I'm just going to pour myself a bowl of this because it's here. And then it's, like, one of those things I grew to like because it was just in the house all the time. So that's what I'm going to go for my number three pick. And it's an adult pick. It's an adult pick, finally. But that is my number three pick, I would say.
I'm not debating whether I should make an adult pick or stick with a kiddie pick for my third one. I'm going to stick with the kiddie one because I loved this one growing up. Golden Grahams.
Oh, I hated this one.
Why?
I don't
That's
like
another
Graham
one that got
cracker.
Soggy. It got soggy quickly.
I don't like I'll Graham cracker, that. So I don't like, I don't, I, okay. I didn't like that.
But I never thought, I never really like likened the two. I always thought it just had its own distinct like honey type
mm-hmm.
flavor.
Maybe that, yeah. Maybe I was just too spooked by it to ever actually
it's
get
another,
it.
It's another one that made the milk delicious at the end, the leftover milk.
This guy just likes milk. And he's I got to poop. It's like, well, stop drinking so much damn milk.
You think it might have something to do with the with?
Yeah,
you putting lactose stuff in your body. I don't know.
Like, there was a senator or something like that. I saw this tweet across my timeline saying it killed me. There was a senator. I guess like they're giving kids options of milk now in schools. Like you can have almond milk or oat milk if you don't want regular milk. And there was like some politician who's like, the body doesn't get the same nutrients as... And someone quoted you, he's like, yo, man, this senator's be like, them kids gotta poop. And I'm like, that's so funny, because that's literally what this guy is basically saying.
That's pretty good.
Those kids better be pooping on my watch.
It's like the school's new pro-bullying policy. We're going to weed out the losers and the weirdos from each other.
I like almond milk. It's good. I don't feel bloated after I have it. I like it.
No, it's fine. Adults handle it fine. I'm saying kids, if you're a kid and you're having oat milk,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that's going to go over well with your peers.
Ah, what do they know?
Oh, I agree. Nobody knows anything, but like you're kind of trapped.
My school bully, I think, is in jail now, so I got that going for me.
That's pretty satisfying.
Yeah.
We just got to look. All right, I got to make my...
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Oh, I made my Golden Grams. We made our three picks.
Oh, yeah.
But we need to do... Let's do honorable mentions real quick. I did have Life cereal on my board.
Gross.
It's an honorable mention. But I think I like the... There's the cinnamon version. So I think that's better than the regular version.
Wheaties on mine.
Wheaties is good.
Fruity Pebbles.
Total is basically the same thing.
Right? Yeah.
Fruity Pebbles. I wasn't a big Fruity Pebbles or Lucky Charms guy, which I think is one of my...
Lucky Charms was
takes.
Gross because Lucky Charms was like, it was marshmallows and then cat litter. Like, that's like the pieces that weren't Lucky, the pieces that weren't marshmallows are like, what is this, cat litter? I don't want this. This is gross. Get this out of here.
You're familiar with the taste of cat litter.
It just looks like it. And it looks like it, and the texture is similar.
Here's my adult pick, Rice Krispies. I liked Rice Krispies. It's another one that got soggy within 10 seconds. But
so, you'll like this. They have a Rice Krispies that I almost bought at the grocery store the other day. Rice Krispies cinnamon sugar. Like, that is kind of intriguing to me.
Interesting.
Not gonna lie.
I never had anything other than the regular Rice Krispies.
Corn Pops, but when they went stale, they became the most inedible thing in the world.
Yeah. And
they
was
went stale very easily.
That was a cut the roof of your mouth cereal, though. Yeah. I liked Corn Pops, but I didn't enjoy that whole experience.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit Loops, that's in the same family as Apple Jacks.
Of course.
I liked Fruit Loops. Raisin Bran, pretty good.
Uh-huh.
My chocolate cereal was Cocoa Puffs.
Could never do chocolate cereal unless it was Chocolate Pebbles. Something about eating chocolate in the morning kind of weirded me out.
Cocoa Krispies.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember Cocoa? Do you ever see the old Cocoa Krispies commercials with the singing monkey?
No. Well, yeah, probably. I just remember them always having the Flintstones on it.
Yeah, that's probably the same thing. Frosted Flakes. That was one that I almost forgot.
That's a good one. Kix Berry for me.
Kix. I like the regular Kix.
Kix Berry.
I'm not against a generic bland cereal.
Well, that's like me. My go-to cereal now is Rice Chex. I like Rice Chex.
Yeah, I like Rice Chex. Yeah. I mentioned them earlier. That's another. See, like this is why it was hard to do a big three because there's not much cereal that I wouldn't eat.
Do you have any defunct cereals on your list? Because I think I have one.
Defunct.
Unless
no.
they brought it back.
I liked the Ghostbusters cereal back when they had that.
Waffle Crisp.
Better
than the Eggo version, because they have an Eggo version. Not as good. Waffle Crisp. I don't know if it still exists. It might, but it went away for a while. So
interesting.
Maybe they brought it back, but Waffle Crisp, if you remember the old commercial, it had the old ladies making all the waffles.
Yes, I do remember that. Do you remember
the
Rice
three old ladies?
Do you remember the Rice Krispies, or was it Cinnamon Toast? No, it was Rice Krispies that had
Snap, Crackle, and Pop?
Snap, Crackle, the three guys.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they were guys. they were like
three baker guys, I thought. I might be thinking of a different cereal.
I thought they were like fairies.
Oh.
Because they were really little. They were really little guys.
They were dwarves, maybe.
I don't know. I thought they were
with like giant spoons and stuff. Like,
yeah, that's
like
what
that.
I mean. I thought they were along line. I thought they were from the same family as Tinkerbell.
Well, they're not real. They weren't real.
How dare
they
you?
Fictional. They were fictional characters, whatever the hell they were.
How dare you assume my fairies?
Whatever the hell they were. All right, sorry. I didn't mean to assume genders or anything like that. All right. All right, I think we should call quits. Rachel is going to come in here and strangle us to death.
Let me tell you something,
She's going to put us in the Cobra Clutch.
Let me talk to you. I don't give a damn, all right?
Brandon's going to get this
at 6 p.m. I am going to have a protest. I am going to formally...
They'll have plenty of time. They have 18 minutes minimum. Yeah. To come in and
say they're not launching rockets in here. They're setting up a webcam. Relax.
I get it. But we don't. This isn't. We don't work with the most intelligent people in this building. You know, it's
sell the damn podcast.
Sponsorships available for the Sports Hub Underground. If you're a listener and you have a business, you want to advertise. I mean, we could facilitate something.
Yeah, my Venmo is TyAnderson16. Just send it to me.
Yes, Matt-Dolph-1 Venmo. Just if you like podcasts.
$5, I don't care.
Like podcasts, give money. I like that. But no, seriously, like we could work something out, so let us know. You have any closing thoughts for us, Ty?
Nope. The protest begins now.
Good, yes. We shall go strip nude and put tape over our mouths, like Raging Against
the
Machine.
Be like, no, I'm blocking the camera. I'm gonna sit cross-legged on the table,
I'm gonna
go on a pipe bomb rant. It's gonna be fun.
We should do that. All right, thanks for listening. You can get us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You can also get us every week at 985thesportshub.com, Sports Hub app. And so you can find us however you want. We're all over the place. Get us on social media at 985 Underground. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll talk to you again next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.